So today, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 12, text 205 through to 212. I notice there's two philosophies when it comes to giving class. There's one group of devotees, they think that no matter how small a purport is, you should give class on just that purport, because after all, spiritual knowledge is always increasing and you should dig more and more into the nectar. Then there's another class of devotee that think it is nice to read on to a more substantial purport. We get to hear more of Prabhupada's purport. It keeps the narrative flowing. I'm the second class. So I particularly asked Niskinchan, I said, could I read several verses so I could read more purports? And Rupa Vilasprabhu is on my side on that one, by the way. So what we'll do is I'll read, we'll do responsibly when we get to text number 212, but I'll just read up to then. So 205. Pakshitina duki loka prabhura adarshani darshana kariya loka sukhapai lamani. Everyone was unhappy for a fortnight because they could not see the deity of Lord Jagannath. Upon seeing the Lord at the festival, the devotees were very unhappy. Next verse. Mahaprabhu Sukilaya Sababhaktagana Jagannatha Darshani Korila Gamana. On this occasion, greatly happy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took all the devotees with him and visited the Lord in the temple. Agi Kashishvara Jaya Loka Nivarya Pachi Govinda Jaya Jala Karangalaya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple, Kashishvar walked in front, checking the crowds of people, and Govinda walked in the rear, bringing the sannyasi's pictures filled with water. Purport. The karanga is a kind of water pot, especially carried by Mayavadi sannyasis, and generally carried by all other sannyasis. And I would struggle to give a class on that. Next verse. Prabhura agi puri bharati donghara gamana svarupa advaita donghera parshvidui jana. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went toward the temple, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati walked in front of him, and at his two sides walked Swarup Damodar and Advaita Acharya. So we see in the modern world, when there are important leaders, they always are flanked. They always have bodyguards all around them. In this case, we don't want the crowds to disturb Lord Chaitanya, so he has his confidential servants on all four sides. Next verse. Pachi pachi chali jaya arbhakta gana utkantati gela sabha jagannatha bhavana. With great anxiety, all the other devotees followed them into the temple of Lord Jagannath. Darshana lobeti kori marjada langana bogamanda pijaya kori srimukha darshana. Out of great eagerness to see the Lord, they all neglected the regulative principles, and just to see the face, Lord's face, went to the place where the food was offered. Purport. There are many regulative principles of deity worship. For example, one is not allowed to enter the room where food is offered to Lord Jagannath. However, in this case, being very anxious because of not having seen the Lord for 15 days, all the people overruled the regulative principles and entered the room. Trisharta Prabhura Netra Brahmara Jugala Gada Trishnaya Pie Krishnara Vadana Kamala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very thirsty to see the Lord, and his eyes became like two bumblebees, drinking the honey from the lotus-like eyes of Lord Jagannath, who is Krishna himself. It's interesting how bumblebees are used often metaphorically to represent attraction. Here we have the eyes of Lord Chaitanya are like bumblebees. So we know when the bumblebee is near a flower, even the bumblebee's restless and flies around, it can never leave the flower. It always comes back and back. So naturally, our consciousness should be going towards Krishna in that way. And due to material attachments, we have the opposite problem. And therefore, we have regulations of devotional service to help us concentrate our mind on Krishna. So it's an uphill struggle until we become purified. Then our consciousness will naturally flow towards Krishna. So that Jagannath, he's compared to a bumblebee. Jagannath Ashtakam, you know. And he's this bumblebee. What is the object of absorption for this bumblebee, the bumblebee of Jagannath? Who is he absorbed in thinking of? Where are Jagannath's eyes going? To the gopis. Is that he's like a bumblebee, attracted to the beautiful faces of the gopis, and the gopis are like the nectar. So the honeybee, just as the honeybee likes the honey, Jagannath likes the honey of the nectar of the lotus faces of the gopis. So the term for bee in this situation is madhupa. In today's verse I just read, it's brahmara. Now there's a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Brahmara Gita. And that's Radharani, she sees a bee and she thinks of Krishna, because Krishna's like a bee. Bees are black and yellow. Krishna's black and yellow. So she sees the bee as being like Krishna. And that chapter is known as Brahmara Gita. Now there's another name for bee, Bringa. So it said, Avir Bhutas Tasya Padaravinde Gatagatam Liyatam Chittabringa. That's a verse from Kavikarnapur, where he compares his consciousness to a bee who is drinking the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So we have Jagannath is a bee looking at the gopis. Kavikarnapur is a bee absorbed in the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they're like bees, or their eyes. Eyes are like bees that are absorbed in, like, thinking of Jagannath. So it's all, we're going round in a circle. Everyone's absorbed in something. This is spiritual life. So today's verse that we will recite together. Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala. Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Jalamala. Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala. Nilamani Darpani Kanti Ganda Jalamala. Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala. Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Jalamala. Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala
Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Jalamala.
Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Jalamala.
Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala.
Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Chalamala. Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala. Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Chalamala. Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala. Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Chalamala.
Prapula Prapula Kamala Jine Nayana Jugala Nilamani Dapana Kanti Ganda Chalamala.
Okay, word for word. Prapula Kamala. Blossoming lotus flower. Jini, conquering. Nayana Jugala. Two eyes. Nilamani. Sapphire. Darpana. Mirror. Kanti. Luster. Ganda. Neck. Jhalamala. Bright. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The eyes of Lord Jagannath conquered the beauty of blossoming lotus flowers, and his neck was as lustrous as a mirror made of sapphires. Please repeat. The eyes of Lord Jagannath conquered the beauty of blossoming lotus flowers, and his neck was as lustrous as a mirror made of sapphires. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu usually saw Lord Jagannath from a distance, standing behind the column of Garuda. However, upon not seeing Lord Jagannath for 15 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great separation from him. In great anxiety, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the meeting hall and entered the room where food was offered, just to see the face of Lord Jagannath. In verse 210, this action is called Marjada Lankana, a violation of the regulative principles. This indicates that one should not come very near a superior. The deity of the Lord and the spiritual master should be seen from a distant place. This is called Marjada. Otherwise, as is said, familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes coming too near the deity or the spiritual master degrades the neophyte devotee. Personal servants of the deity and the spiritual master should therefore always be very careful, for negligence may overcome them in their duty. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes have been compared to thirsty bumblebees, and Sri Jagannath's eyes have been compared to blossoming lotus flowers. The author has made these comparisons in order to describe Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while the Lord was deeply absorbed in ecstatic love for Lord Jagannath. Prapula Kamala Jini Nayana Jugala Nilamani Darpana Kanti Ganda Chalamala. The eyes of Lord Jagannath conquered the beauty of blossoming lotus flowers, and his neck was as lustrous as a mirror made of sapphires. Om Agyanata Marandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So I thank everyone for being present, both physically present and those that are listening online. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Not at all qualified, but I seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially all the senior devotees present here. Thank you. So when I arrived in the temple room today, Ananta Chuta Prabhu came to me and he said, I've looked at the verses and I'm really interested to know what you will talk about. Now I get, would I call it stage fright? Almost. I find it difficult to give detailed notes and bring them to class. So what I do is I write little bullet points. So I'm going to read out my bullet points just for Ananta Chuta. My bullet points are Lolyam, which is greed, Madhavendra Puri. So I'm going to read some verses where he gives up some regulative principles due to attraction. I've written the word Raganuga. I've written the word Maryada because it's mentioned here, Maryada Langana. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we were discussing Maryada Vyatikrama, which means to overstep or to, let's say, not give due respect to a senior devotee. This was in connection with Vidura. When Vidura approached Uddhava, now Uddhava's more than qualified to give spiritual knowledge, but out of etiquette, he directed Vidura to Maitreya, because Maitreya was senior by age. So I wrote that down. I wrote a few verses from Bhagavad Gita, Man Mana Bhavamaya Bhakto, because the object of our goal, all our regulations are meant to be ultimately to think of Krishna, which brings us to another verse, Smarta Vyam Sadatam Vishnu. I wrote down the word Trishna, which means thirst, because it's also connected. Alalanath, because generally speaking, at this time of year, the associates of Lord Chaitanya would visit Alalanath. Now, Alalanath is known as Alvarnath. That's the actual proper term, although it's somehow been changed to Alalanath. And it's described by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati that this place is known as Dvigunata Vipralamba, which means it's double separation. It's a place of double separation. So we understand Jagannath Puri is known as Vipralamba Kshetra. It's a place where Lord Chaitanya is feeling separation, and therefore it is his natural abode when he's in the mood of separation from Radharani. He's separated from Krishna. He's in the mood of Radharani, being separated from Krishna. And that particular holy dam is known as Vipralamba Kshetra. That's where Lord Chaitanya, when he wants to fully focus on that mood alone, he comes to Jagannath Puri to spend the remaining part of his life. Before that, in Navadvip, he has many relationships. He has relationship with his parents. He has relationships with his friends. He has relationships with the residents of Navadvip. But when he wants to just focus on one bhav, Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Lord Chaitanya is famously known as Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalita. He's Krishna who has the ornament of the mood and the luster of Srimati Radharani. When he wants to experience that exclusively, he goes to Jagannath Puri, which means he's not thinking of his mother. His mother won't interrupt his Radha Bhav, you see. But of course, he still is always present. You know, one of his manifestations, he's always present where Sachimata's mandir is. The home temple of Sachimata is a place where Lord Chaitanya is always present. Where else is he always present? There's four places. Anyone know the other ones? Yes, Nityananda's dancing. And? Shriva Sangam. Yes, Shrivas Kirtan, Bhavani, or Shrivas Kirtani. Yes, Raghava Bhavani, the house of Raghava, where the, what's the name is Raga, and who's the wife of Raghava? Damayanti, is it? Mad sister, yeah. They make wonderful food of preparations, and Lord Chaitanya is personally present for that. Yeah, so yeah. Anyway, so at Alvarnath, the Lord, because, what's the name of the fifth, yes. Thank you. So what is the name for the 15-day period where Lord Jagannath is not visible. Anavasara, yes. So because Lord Chaitanya, he's coming, he's in Jagannath Puri, he's feeling separation from Krishna, but he sees Lord Jagannath every day. But during this 15-day period, Snana Yatra, then Lord Jagannath gets apparently sick, so he's been nursed. At that time, the separation increases. That's why Alalanath, he goes to Alalanath, where there's a deity called Alvarnath, and this was actually established by Lord Brahma. It's known as Brahmagiri, this place. And this deity, it's a deity of Narayan with four arms, but Lord Chaitanya is, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati has explained that the Gaudiyas, when they see this deity, they see two-armed Krishna Muralidhar. So it said, Yajadhyaya Tagurugaya Vibhavayanti Tadadvapu Pranayasi Sadanugrahaya. The Lord appears in whatever form one desires. So we have, there are so many forms of the Lord, and whichever form we find most attractive, the Lord will appear in that form. So deities are mystical. If you see, like for example, when Lord Chaitanya saw Lord Jagannath, who did he see? Don't say Jagannath, because that's too obvious, but what form was Jagannath in? Shyamasundar, yeah. So when you see Lord Jagannath, do you see Shyamasundar? I see two different forms. I see Lord Jagannath is very different from Shyamasundar. And if I weren't told that they were the same, I would never have guessed. When I look at Jagannath, I would never guess that's Krishna in another form. But actually, if you have spiritual vision, you see the form of Lord Jagannath, you can actually see Shyamasundar at the same time. So for the Gaudiyas, when they go to Alalanath, this Narayan deity is actually Muralidhar, Dvibhuj Muralidhar, two-armed form of Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Ananda Ki Jai. Perfect timing. Just talking about the deities and the curtains open. And going back to my little list, I've put down a few verses that relate to Raganuga Bhakti. So what is the definition of Raganuga Bhakti? There's actually a verse that Lord Chaitanya speaks to Sanatana Goswami in chapter 22 of Majjalila. It's the definition of Raganuga Bhakti. Virajantim abhivyaktam brajbasi janadishu ragatmakam anushrita yasa raganugochati. Raganuga Bhakti means to follow in the footsteps of a ragatmaka bhakta, which is a bhakta who is, the word bhakta is sometimes used to mean a neophyte devotee, but actually in this case, bhakta means an eternal associate of Krishna, a very elevated devotee, who's backed, the ragatmaka bhaktas, they are following, they are worshipping Krishna with intimacy, which is why the word Raganuga Bhakti is used. It's not Aishvarya. The mood is predominantly intimate. And their love is said to be shining. Virajantim means the love of the residents of Vrindavan is shining. So when one follows in their footsteps, ragatmikam anushrita, that is called Raganuga Bhakti. Yasa Raganugochati. Okay? So the reason I bring this up is because it is said that those who are following this path, they may sometimes transgress rules and regulations, but actually it's not a bad thing because it's done out of natural love. And in this context, we see how the associates of the Lord are so eager to see the Lord that they are entering into the area where the food has been offered and they're not keeping their distance. So this is a transgression under normal circumstances, but actually it is an ornament of their love for Lord Jagannath that they are so eager to see him that they are prepared to break this principle. So what is the difference between legitimately breaking the principles and falsely doing so? So one thing we should consider, those that are following Raganuga Bhakti, it is said that they have a desire to follow the scriptural rules and regulations, but then when that other desire, their pure love, overwhelms that desire, then they break that principle. So the respect for the regulative principles must be there in the first place. Now, if one lacks respect for regulative principles, one may think, well, you know, I've been practicing sadhana bhakti for 20, 30 years. I think it's time that I got into raganuga bhakti, you know, and they start to actually, they're not respecting the regulative principles. Now, the Goswamis are a perfect example of how to follow raganuga bhakti. Sankhya Purvaka, Namagana Natibi, Kalavasani Kritao. They are very much devoted to following the regulative principles, and they are counting their rounds. So yesterday Mahaprasad Prabhu was giving class. He was mentioning how Haridas Thakur, he was, obviously he's on the highest platform, but he's still very dedicated to counting his rounds. He sort of made this, Mahaprasad made the joke, like, oh, because Haridas Thakur, he's so humble that when he's going to leave the body, his body's breaking down, he's becoming ill, and he can't chant his 192 rounds every day. And he blames his mind. He doesn't think, oh, it's because I'm ill. He just thinks, oh, I've got some problem with my mind. I'm not chanting properly. So he was kind of joking, well, maybe he's chanted 150 rounds, and he's, because he's ill, he can't complete 192. So he's thinking bad about himself. It's interesting. What were Haridas Thakur's words when he was leaving the planet? Who knows what he said when he was leaving the planet? He said, "Krishna Chaitanya." Now, I mentioned that because we were singing Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koramoru. Some of the bhajans are predominantly names of the Lord and the Lord's associates. And actually, we may think, oh, this isn't such a deep bhajan, because it's not so philosophical. It's mainly the names of the Lord's associates. But actually, to say the names of the Lord and the Lord's associates is so, so auspicious. It brings about, it purifies the atmosphere, it purifies our hearts. In fact, the Lord's associates are more dear to the Lord than his very self. So when we sing bhajans that are described the intimate associates of the Lord, then we can understand these bhajans are very, very potent, and we should never think they're ordinary at all. So going back to Haridas Thakur, his words were Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Was it Sri Krishna Chaitanya or Krishna Chaitanya? I'll let you check that out. Can you check that? We have our little, it's like our courtroom. He's our courtroom scribe, and he's doing research. There was four wonderful auspicious aspects to the passing of Haridas Thakur. His words, he said, Krishna Chaitanya. His eyes were fixed on the beautiful face of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's feet were placed on his chest, and he took the dust of all the Vaishnavas present. So there are four. If you have any one of those four things at the time of your passing, you're very, very fortunate. And Haridas Thakur has all four of them. So it's an amazing situation. But the point I was making was he is following Ragatmaka Bhakti, and he is counting his rounds. And one of the symptoms of Bhav is Namagani Sadaruchi, attachment to counting one's rounds. So we have the Goswamis as one example, and we have Haridas Thakur as another example. So don't think that you're too advanced to chant your rounds and think that you're on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti, because it's bogus. This is bogus. Because actual attachment to the regulative principles increases as we advance. And actually, the regulative principles that Srila Prabhupada gave us, they're actually compatible with Raganuga Bhakti, so there's no need to actually change them in the first place. Now, I'm going to read something from Madhavendra Puri, and this is about Karma Kanda rules and regulations. Now, this is from a purport in the second canto, which is actually second canto, chapter 4, text number 4. Did you find the answer, by the way? It's Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Okay, so Haridas Thakur says Sri Krishna Chaitanya just before he left the planet. So here's from Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 4, Purport. Srila Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, took leave of all karma kandiya obligations in the following words. Sanja vandana badramastu bhavato bosnana tubhyam namo bodeva pitarascha tarpanavidau naham kshamaksham yatam Yatra kva pinisajja yadavakulo tamasyas kangsha dvisha smaram smaram agam haram itadalam manye kimanye nami. O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions of sins simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of further endeavors? The purport continues. Srila Madhavendra Puri said further, Mugdamam nikatantu nita nipuna branta muhur vaidika mandam bandhava sanchaya jatadiyam muktadara sodara unmatang tanino viveka chatura kamam mahadambikam moktum nakshamati managapimano govinda pada spriham. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it. So that's an example of karmakanda obligations are being neglected because one is naturally attracted to Krishna, which is the purpose of all rules and regulations. Smartavya sadatam vishnu vish smartavyu najatuchit sarvavidhi nisedasyur etayor eva kinkaraha. All rules and regulations are servants of two rules. One is to always remember Krishna, and the other is to never forget him. So are these two rules or one rule? I don't know the answer. Is there a difference between always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him? I don't know of any. Okay, here's a question as we're talking about Raghunuga Bhakti. Now, the word Trishna is used. It's Trisharta, and which means distress. Actually, Arta means distress. Trisharta means thirsty. And there's another phrase previously, if I can find it. It was Gada Trishnaya. And that's the reason I'm talking about Raghunuga Bhakti is because Gada Trishna is actually mentioned as the Swarup Lakshana of Raghunuga Bhakti, of Ragatmika Bhakti, the Swarup Lakshana. So that term Swarup Lakshana means the principal characteristic. Now, what is the marginal characteristic? Anyone know? It is actually Avishtata, which means absorption. Complete absorption is the marginal characteristic of Ragatmika Bhakti, and deep attraction, which is Gada Trishna, is the Swarup Lakshana. And that is very interesting because the verse I previously quoted, Smartavya Sadatam Vishnu, to always remember Krishna, we think of that as the highest principle. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. We should always think of Krishna. But in the context of Ragatmika Bhakti, absorption is not the Swarup Lakshana, it is the marginal. And I was reflecting on this. We have example of Kamsa. Kamsa was always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, but it wasn't Ragatmika Bhakti. Or we have, one may always be absorbed in thinking of Lord Narayan. That's not Ragatmika Bhakti, because it has to be absorption in Krishna, and the intimacy of Braj has to be present in order for it to be Ragatmika Bhakti. So I mentioned a verse about the definition of Raghunuga Bhakti. So in order to understand this, we have to understand what is Ragatmika Bhakti. So as it said, Ishti Svarasaki Raga Paramavishtata Bhavet. What's the next one? Tanmayiya Bhavet Bhakti Satra Ragat Makodata. Ragatmaka Bhakti means to be fully absorbed, which is the word Avishtata is used, fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And the particular absorption is Ishti Svarasiki, is based on one's natural inclination. And sometimes people ask, where does this come from? And it said it comes from association with those who have it. So we have a wonderful ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, based on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is coming to give this Ragatmaka Bhakti, this intimate Bhakti, which is only available once in the day of Lord Brahma. So in the day of Lord Brahma, there is 1,000 Divya Yugas. So that means there is 1,000 Kali Yugas in the day of Lord Brahma. And in one of those Kali Yugas, what has been offered is very, very special. It is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. That Bhakti is being offered. So we have to take that with all our hearts and make that our life and goal. So this is the actual purpose of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it's good that we don't talk about it so much, because it wasn't Prabhupada's mood to talk about these things, because he understood that it comes naturally from within. And we may give an example. If you talk to, say, an eight-year-old about romance, eight-year-old will never understand. If you talk to a teenager about romance, teenagers will completely understand it very quickly. So when you're ready, you will understand this intimate devotional service. And when you're not ready, there's no point discussing it. So I've often given this four, I've got a list of four little sayings, clever little sayings that Prabhupada had in relationship to advanced devotional service. One is, first deserve, then desire. Okay, so that is a fundamental principle. And that is why he said, don't talk about these things. Just carry on with your devotional service, read the books, and it will naturally develop. And when it does develop, out of shyness, you're not going to advertise it. So first deserve, then desire. So we should primarily engage in the activities that Prabhupada taught us to do, which are, for example, distribute his books. So if you want Raghunuga Bhakti, then do the Prabhupada Marathon. Then you'll get all the Sukriti. And then when Krishna will arrange for you to meet someone who has that particular mood, and then you'll be affected. You may not realize at first, but then gradually some natural inclination to serve Krishna in one of the intimate rasas will naturally develop. So first deserve, then desire. One time there was the infamous Gopi Bhav Club. Most of you know what that's all about. There was a group of devotees who started getting into discussing the Rasa Leela. When Prabhupada heard about it, he was furious. And he told them, you're prematurely entering into these topics. He said, this is the next little catchphrase, they are not becoming purified, they are becoming putrefied. So one time, interesting, one devotee, he asked Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, this is in your books. It's a good answer, right? Prabhupada said, read my books. And they said, but this is in your books. And Prabhupada said, if you go to a pharmacist, you'll find so many medicines. But you can't just take whatever you like from the shelf and take it. It has to be prescribed by the pharmacist. So in the same way, Prabhupada said, first of all, you read the Bhagavad Gita, and you read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and gradually you'll come to that platform. So it's all about time, place, and circumstance, what you are ready for. Which brings me to another little phrase. Prabhupada said, first Kurukshetra Leela, then Rasa Leela. Just clever. And I recently found another one. He said, first come to Swarup, then talk about Swarup. So Ragatmaka Bhakti is connected with the term Swarup, which means we have a natural... When we have a natural mood, we have a natural innate form. So if you actually, there's one of the bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I said that those who have this intimate relationship, they're shy. But there's an exception. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's laid down his intimate relationship with Krishna. And there's one of his bhajans called Siddha Deha. So you can read who he is, Kamala Manjari, how old he is. I think it's 12 and a half. His sari has little stars or something, little... It's anyway, he is making chandan. He's in the group of Ananga Manjari who's serving Lalita. All these details are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Swarup means his form. So he knows his form. His form is as a Manjari, Kamala Manjari, etc., etc. So Prabhupada said, first come to Swarup, then talk about Swarup. It doesn't actually help to delve into these higher topics unless we're actually on that platform. So I will say a few more things. There's one verse I was going to mention which I've not already mentioned. This comes in the chapter 8. It's amazing, it feels quite recent that we were doing chapter 8, but actually we're now on chapter 12. Chapter 8 is one of the most famous chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the talks between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. So in that, Ramananda Roy, when Mahaprabhu is asking him what's the ultimate goal of life, and then he's given so many answers. In the progression of this conversation, he says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yadi Katopi Labhyate Tatra Lalyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukritaya Nalabhyate. Said that this is where Prabhupada got the term Krishna consciousness, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. It's a lot of words. Let's break it down. Krishna Bhakti means devotion to Krishna. Krishna Bhakti Rasa. Okay, Rasa, technically speaking, when love develops into prema, it's called Rasa. And Rasa, the preliminary love is known as Stai Bhav. And then when you add what's known as Vibhav, Anubhav, Sanchari Bhav, Sattvika Bhav, you add these extra four ingredients, it's called Rasa. So Krishna Bhakti Rasa is actually referring to pure love of Godhead. Bhavita, absorption, Mati, having that inclination or that state of mind. So the state of mind and being always absorbed in Krishna Bhakti Rasa. That's where Prabhupada got the term Krishna consciousness. So Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavatamati Kriyatam Yadikatopi Labhyate. He then says, if it's available, you should purchase it at all cost. If it's available, you must purchase. And what is the price? Who knows the price? Lalyam, which means?
Greed.
Yes, greed. So to actually attain this pure devotional service that Lord Chaitanya came to give us, the price we have to pay is greed. Therefore, we must serve the devotees because we may unknowingly serve someone who has this greed and they may bless us. And by that blessing, that greed will arise in us. And that is actually how we purchase Krishna. This is greed. So that is ultimately what we are performing all our activities for, to come to that platform where we may receive the blessings of the Brajbasis. Not just the Brajbasis in the spiritual world, but the Brajbasis who are developing their swarup in this world. They may bless us. Seva sadaka rupena, siddha rupena chattarhi, tadbhava lipsuna karya, brajaloka anusarataha. Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami, when you develop this love, you should perform service in your sadhana rup, that means in the bodies that we've been given, and in your siddha swarup, whatever you're developing, cultivating internally, you perform devotional service in these. So it's two parallel lines. You're performing your devotional service that no one knows, everyone sees with your body. You're performing your deity worship, etc. And then there's an internal service where you're developing your love for Krishna in a particular mood. And that mood will either be in Kondragoras, or in Vatsalya, parental, or Sakya, or even in Vrindavan, there is Dasya, Raktak Patrak. There's a certain Dasya which has the Vrindavan mellow. Even in Shantaras, there's Shantaras in Vrindavan, like the flute, Sometimes the cows are said to be in Shantaras, but they are also sometimes said to be in Vatsalya Ras. So in this way, this beautiful, blooming love for Krishna develops inside. And when you have something valuable, what do? You hide it, right? If anyone has diamonds in their house, they're not going to tell anyone, right? So in the same way, when that wealth, inner wealth develops, you're not going to brag about it. It's just not the done thing, you see. Sometimes when devotees that take the role of acharya, they may reveal more. I mentioned back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why did he reveal his swarup? Why did he do that? Well, he has to give us something to aspire for. He has to reveal the mood. We're in his line, so therefore we get some information about that particular parivar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur parivar, you see. But generally speaking, it is not revealed. And actually our previous acharyas, we know this, their swarup, but mostly not because they explicitly mentioned it, but because intimate associates of them deduced it, and it was confirmed. Or it was either confirmed by the person themselves or by the assembly of devotees. And one exception of that is Srila Prabhupada. We don't have any consensus on that one. And that remains a mystery. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for your time. And I've left some time for comments and questions. I feel very unqualified. I feel like a lead balloon trying to talk about these topics. But, yes, someone put their hand up. Maharaj, thank you. Please correct me. I want to be corrected by you.
Thank you so much. Such a substantial class. Really appreciate it. You mentioned this first Smarta Vyasa Katam Vishnu.
Yeah.
Ultimately, remembrance of Krishna is our highest aspiration. Just wondering if you could say something about Smaranam, because it's almost like it's the highest aspiration. It's an anga of bhakti, but obviously we put emphasis on Shravanam and Kirtanam as a regulative practice, which leads to Smaranam.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really hear about Smaranam as a regulated practice. Of course, we hear about Leela Smaranam in Raghunuga Bhakti. But on the sadhaka stage, what does Smaranam mean? Is that just something left to the practitioner to inculcate, or is it something more deliberate?
Thank you very much. And I will try to answer that, and then I will ask you to answer it, because I think you'll probably have a better answer than I do. Okay. There's actually a Prabhupada disciple. His name's Uttama Shloka Prabhu. And he wrote, I mentioned we shouldn't go into deep subject matters. Now, he did that. He wrote a book that's kind of deep. And he was arguing that actually Smaranam is more important than Kirtanam. And he has some quotes. But actually, he has some points. But the point about Kirtan, because Kirtan includes Smaranam, then you can never say Kirtan isn't the highest. It's interesting that Mahaprabhu, when he's teaching Sanatan Goswami, I think it's Sanatan, he was teaching one of the Goswamis, he said, Bhajanera Maji Sreshta Nava Vida Bhakti, Krishna Prema Krishna Didi Dori Mahashakti, Tare Maji Sarva Sreshta Nama Sankirtan, Nenaparadi Nam Loi Pai Prema Dana. That of all the forms of worship, the 9 processes of devotional service are the highest. But Mahaprabhu has said, but of those, the most highest is Nam Sankirtan. So Mahaprabhu is our acharya, so therefore we accept Nam Sankirtan as the highest. But because Nam Sankirtan includes Smaranam, then it's perfect, it's complete in itself. So my answer to you is, I have also never seen any particular sadhana that actually describes how we engage in Smarana. So if we chant Hare Krishna, naturally we will think of Krishna. So the Smarana will come. Or if we look at the deities, naturally we'll start to remember things. Prahlad Maharaj is obviously, he's the exemplar for Smarana, but he's on such a high level that we can't actually imitate him. His Smarana was so great that even when his father was trying to kill him, he was remembering Krishna and he was kind of protected. So I've actually not answered your question really at all. And my answer is, I don't try and do anything personally that has not been prescribed by Srila Prabhupada. So I do see it as something that's just left to something that we do. Now, I just think it comes naturally. If we read Prabhupada's books, we're going to start thinking of Krishna's pastimes. If we chant Hare Krishna, we think of Krishna. And if we're fortunate, we start to think of the guna and the leela of Krishna. And if we see the deities, obviously we're remembering Krishna at that time. But it's very important. The smarana is very important, because ultimately if we are chanting Hare Krishna and we're not remembering, then that is not the highest at all. The only reason we can see Nam Sankirtan is the highest is because we're actually remembering Krishna. But without remembering Krishna, then what's the point of our chanting? It's inattentive and it has no value whatsoever. Whereas if one is not chanting but remembering Krishna, then that is value, because the actual remembrance is there. So we can see as chanting as it's a goal in itself, but it's also a means by which we can bring about smaranam, or this remembering. So I'm asking, what do you think about the whole thing? Does anyone have any other thoughts? I've not even begun to answer your question, because I just thought of the answer. Tell me what you think.
No, that was very useful. I mean, I always just saw smaranam as the thread which kind of connects all of the angas of bhakti. You know, smaranam underlies every practice, and in that sense, it's the ultimate aspiration to always remember Krishna and everyone facilitating that. But yeah, I was just wondering if there's something more specific in terms of cultivation of smaranam.
I actually did think of one little thing. When I was a reasonably new bhakta, once a Prabhupada disciple came to me and he said to me, you know, if you want, you can memorize some verses from the 10th canto, and when you're chanting your japa, after each round, you can recite one of those verses. Now, at the time, I thought, that's interesting, but is that bona fide? And then I forget where, but many years later, I read that this was actually a recommended practice. So there's an example of where we may be chanting our rounds. Now, you have a shloka book when you chant your japa, so maybe you're doing this already, I don't know. But there is some, and I can't remember where, there is some recommendation that you can, you know, recite a certain verse in between your rounds. Then what's the purpose of this? Why would you recite a verse? Because it maybe describes a certain pastime of Krishna or a certain description of Krishna's form. It gives us something to remember when we're chanting. But as a practice, I know another devotee of mine, a friend of mine, he wrote a book, and I don't recommend you read it, but I don't even remember what it's called. He started to analyze how to chant japa. So he would have a picture of Radharani, a picture of Krishna, a picture of the Balaram. So when he's chanting Hare, he's thinking of Radha. When he's chanting Krishna, he's thinking of Krishna. When he's chanting Rama, he was thinking of Balaram. And he had a whole system of how to chant japa, and he said this helped him with his japa. But I said, well, the acharyas don't advise us to do this, so I didn't recommend it. I didn't think it's a good idea, and I don't recommend that people do this. And the main reason being is genuine remembrance, it's a gift that descends, and it's not something that can be elicited by, artificial remembrance. It's not like you can just switch on a button and go, okay, now I'm going to think of Radha, now I'm going to think of Krishna, because that's just a mental concept. Ultimately, remembrance is a gift that comes through mercy. And therefore, Prabhupada, when asked how to chant japa, he said, just think of the name. Just concentrate on the words. Now, there may be some scriptural injunction which says you can remember this form of Krishna or that form of Krishna. But Prabhupada, when he was asked this, he said, you should hear. Your concentration should be on the sound vibration, because, you know, abhinatvam namanaminaho. There's no difference between the name and the possessor. So our focus should just be on the name. And if we do that, then smaranam will naturally come about in our japa. Through attentive japa, smaranam will naturally manifest. Hare Krishna. Antaranga Prabhu. You have us.
There's just a small quote I have.
Thank you.
His Holiness Jananda Maharaj, he sent it to me recently. This is Srila Prabhupada in letter to Devananda on the 23rd of November 1968. And Prabhupada writes, simply our prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me as a super soul, so you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even you send me into hell, it doesn't matter. Just so long as I can always chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, that's a wonderful prayer. It's about value. One time, does anyone remember, what's the name of the Australian devotee? Used to be temple president of Soho Street. Bhagavad Shri, yes, thank you. So, anyways, it doesn't matter. He was talking about you can't hack Krishna's database. That we have this, the world's made a database, and he says you cannot hack Krishna's database. And he's making the point that it doesn't matter how much we may desire on our own endeavor to enter into the spiritual world. The spiritual world is closed. The door opens from within. There's no key on the outside. So we're just actually just begging for Krishna's mercy and ultimately that we may come to this higher platform. Hare Krishna. Haribol. Is it switched on?
I've quoted this verse. Well, it's not a verse. It's a quote from Prabhupada's letters. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I'm doing now, I must do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten, and my only motive is Krishna's alone pleasure. And there's another one, the Nityanandastakam. That's very, very beautiful. Nityanandu vahudentu vasudha pranavala janava javitapati Krishna prema prada prabhu Padmavati sutta sriman Sachinandana Purvaja Pavon Mata Jagatrakta Raktagora Kalivaraha.
Kalivara.
And that's a beautiful verse because it's Nityananda's the Avatar, but he says that we got to go through Nityananda. We can't imitate him, but we must go through Nityananda. This is Lord Chaitanya's, he's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Okay.
Thank you. It's wonderful, yes. Heno nitai bini bai Radha Krishna paitinai Naratam Das Thakur. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot attain Radha Krishna. And then we sung today, Tava Kripa Bali Pai Chaitanya Nitai. By the mercy of Advaita Charya, then we attain Gaura Nitai. And then to get the mercy of Advaita Acharya, what do we do now? Through the Acharyas. So ultimately we need the mercy of the devotees to attain even Lord Nityananda, through which we can attain Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Yes, Hare Krishna. You had a question yesterday and you have a comment or question today. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class. For years, I'm a bit confused. I wonder if you can clarify this for me. For years, I've been hearing that you should avoid desire with the as the plague. So I wondered how we can have desires without being putrefied, I should think.
Oh, how can we have desires without being putrefied? The answer is very simple, is to follow the method given by the Acharya. I mentioned that Prabhupada said, my books are like, you know, if you have a pharmacy, you have so many medicines. So you follow according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So he has said, you read Krishna book. You know, there's no, even at a newish devotees can read Krishna book, and more advanced devotees can maybe go into the other more intimate literature. But because Srila Prabhupada has given us Krishna book and told us that this is for our reading, even at our neophyte stage, then we should follow that, and then naturally our desires will awaken through reading of Krishna book. Yeah? Because Krishna book has all the pastimes of Krishna in a wonderful, concise form, and Prabhupada has written it in such a way that we are qualified to read it, even though we're not qualified. There's no preliminary qualification required. Whereas the tenth canto, which has Krishna's pastimes, in order to qualify for that, it's recommended that we read the first 9 cantos, you see. So we see a difference between Krishna book, the Adhikarta, read Krishna book, and the Adhikarta, read the 10th canto. Prabhupada said, you can read Krishna book straight away. And devotees used to distribute Krishna book on the streets. I remember 1990 or so, I received a Krishna book. I wasn't practicing, I wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. And I started reading the Krishna book before I even had any japa beads, etc. It was a wonderful experience. I must have found it really weird, because it was weird, all these pastimes of Krishna. I never understand it, but I was very interested. And it's the first time I ever saw the word Krishna written in the page, and I was like, this has got no vowel. K, with dots and S's with dots. And I was like, what is that Krishna? And I was very interested, what is this word? And so I had the Krishna book, and it's very, very powerful. It's a very powerful book. So how to not be putrefied is read according to Prabhupada's instructions and follow the process, and then you'll be protected because you're doing the right thing. Yeah?
I just wondered how does it show itself in you? I mean, it's kind of subtle, you know. It's not, you can't put your finger to it, but this is what you're going to read.
We have this curiosity and we have this ego that makes us want to read higher literature that we're not qualified for, so that we can kind of think of ourselves as being great. If we ever feel that way, we should decline. We shouldn't satisfy that desire because it's not pure. Instead, we should stay reading that literature which is for our level, and be humble. And if we have that humbleness and we try to do things with goodness, be good, then we won't be putrefied, we'll be purified. Thank you. Prayojana Prabhu. Spiritual master will guide you. Thank you.
The spiritual master will guide you because you don't have to rely on yourself. He's the person, or she's the person, your Shiksha Guru, mm-hmm. that will tell you there, one way or t'other. You can't do it independently.
Thank you. Jai. Oh, one more. Damodar Prabhu. Let's have a last question, then we'll go for prasadam.
Thank you, Bhuga. I'd just like to make a comment about something I was reflecting on in terms of remembrances. Srila Prabhupada's instruction that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we to love Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, is to, then we naturally remember them. And so I think it's so important in terms of how we actually are dealing with others. If we pay close attention to that, we can very easily remember Srila Prabhupada and Krishna.
Thank you. So I had this interesting little incident took place about a month ago. I was in the pujari room, and I was doing my service. It was like I was tired, didn't I have enough sleep, and I wasn't very feeling appreciation for the service. And I was sitting there, and there was another devotee next to me, and then the head pujari came in, and this devotee thanked the head pujari for the service that he'd been given. And I thought to myself, that's the right attitude. So I did the same. I said, thank you for giving me this service. And then just at that moment, he then brought out a verse from the 10th canto. It wasn't intimate or anything. And he recited it. And then immediately I thought, wow, that is an amazing verse. And I thought to myself, for months I've never actually appreciated a verse like I did at that moment. And I thought, that's Krishna's instant kind of reciprocation, because I decided to bypass my feeling and my words. I spoke words of appreciation, and as a result, I got some appreciation of a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was thinking, it's all about remembrance. It's all about what you deserve. And if we, you mentioned we love each other. If we love each other, we have nice, we gauge in a nice way, we do the right thing, then Krishna will give us the intelligence. Matasmriti Gyanam Apo Nangcha. And then we can enter into the meaning of the scripture. So as an example where I said something nice and then I got an immediate reward of, I got some insight into a verse, which I wouldn't normally have. I would normally have read it and just, oh, that's a nice verse, and then not really appreciated it, but it just had more meaning to me. So everything about remembrance ultimately comes through our behavior. If we behave nicely, we appreciate each other, we're not a burden on the society, we're helping. If you're not, as the saying goes, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So in our society, we can have people who talk about problems, and there are people who provide solutions. We want to be the people that provide the solutions, and we try and make ourselves in such a way that we're not a problem for the society and we're a solution to the problems. And then such people will naturally be able to remember Krishna, because ultimately it's a gift, it's a reciprocation from Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for your time. Grantaraj Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Itai Gaura Premanandi.